Hey, gang, are you new to this podcast? Have you subscribed on iTunes or Stitcher and realized that you can only access the 20 most recent shows on these platforms? Do you want to binge on How Did I Get Here? Well, check out our archives, available for free. Simply go to howdidigethere.podbean.com, look on the right-hand column, and our entire catalog is easily accessible by month and year. Go listen to great conversations with artists like Sweet Spirit, The Wind and the Wave, Quiet Company, The Blue Bonnets, and literally hundreds more. Just go to howdidigethere.podbean.com and start listening. Let's get down.
And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here? And now here is your host, Johnny Mowdy.
All right. Hello, I'm Johnny. I'm your host. Welcome to the show. I have a fantastic show for you guys today. I've actually been trying to get this show together for quite a while. I have Jonathan Terrell. He's the lead singer of Not in the Face, but he also has just put out an album a couple months ago called Past the Lights of Town. It's available on vinyl as well. Go to jonathanterrellmusic.com. Find out when you can get it. He's going to be performing Mondays at the Black Heart at 9:30. And also, he will be playing at Art City Austin this Saturday, April 30th at 1:20 p.m. Art City Austin is an amazing art festival that goes on, and they moved it over to the Palmer Event Center along the shores of Lady Bird Lake. And they have tons of artists, tons of food, tons of drink, and a Black Fret music stage presented by KGSR 93.3 here in Austin, featuring Dan Dyer, Sarah Sharp, Tamika Jones, Warren Hood, Zeely, Jonathan Terrell, today's guest, and of course many, many more. Just go to artallianceaustin.org/artcity to find out what's going on there. I'll be going down there because I'm in town this weekend and I'm excited to hit it. All right, that's what I'm going to do. Listen, Jonathan is a great, great artist, okay? I don't know if you guys have ever seen Not in the Face, but Not in the Face is an amazing rock and roll band. Very raw, very real. And what Jonathan does in his solo act is also very raw and very real, just it's stripped down and kind of in the country vein, which is how I first saw him. Very first time I ever saw him, I went with Jazz Mills to the Clive Bar to see our friend Corey Baum play, and Jonathan was there. I sat down, I talked to him, he made me laugh a lot, and he got up and he played a few songs, and I was blown away. I was like, this guy is a true artist, and ever since then, I've been a fan, and then I heard Not in the Face, became a huge fan of that band, and when Jonathan put this album out, Past the Lights of Town, I was really excited about it, and as I said, I've been trying to get him on the show. I'm glad we finally got him on. I want to thank my friends at Juice Consulting, who helped me put this together. So also thank Jonathan for coming by and hanging out. We will get to that in just a minute. Let me tell you what's going on with me. I had a great weekend, played with Skyrocket this weekend in Houston, which is the third Houston weekend in a row. We go there a lot, you know. We have a lot of business there. So we played this lady's 50th birthday. It was a fantastic show. We did it. It ended about 11:30, and I rode down there with my man Paul English in the band. And when we were walking out, we hadn't gone to check into our hotel yet, so all of our stuff was still in the car. And he was like, man, I feel good enough to drive home. What do you think? And I was like, yeah. So we drove home. We listened to a lot of music. And after about an hour of listening to music, I put on Genesis Abacab, the song. And then Paul was like, hey, I've got the whole album on my iTunes if you want to hear it. So we listened to it. The whole album. When was the last time you listened to Genesis Abacab? That album is fantastic, man. That album is great. Love the Lonely Man There on the Corner, No Reply at All, Abacab, of course. And then all the album cuts, man. Fantastic. Hadn't listened to the whole album probably since I was in my teens. And Paul and I had a great time reminiscing about listening to the album. He told me a very funny story about his dad kind of freaking out because he didn't like the end of the song, Abacab. It just stays on this one chord and just vamps on it and vamps on it and vamps on it. His dad came in and was like, turn this off. It's driving me crazy. So anyway, you can see how that would happen. Anyway. Great time driving home with Paul. I love Paul English. He's a great artist. He has an album out called Havenville under the band name The English. You can find it on Spotify. You can find it on iTunes. It's an amazing album. It really is. It's beautiful. It's a concept album that has to do with antidepressants being taken by prisoners of an island. It's very strange. Havenville. Check it out. Havenville by The English. iTunes and Spotify. And of course, while you're out there, you can find Jonathan Terrell, Past the Lights of Town. Also, if you want to get it on vinyl, I bet you can get it at Waterloo in Austin. But if you don't live in Austin, go to Jonathan Terrell Music, T-E-R-R-E-L-L, JonathanTerrellMusic.com. Pick it up. Great, great, great album. Beautiful album. Great artist. Check him out Mondays at the Black Heart. Or if you are in Austin, go to Art City Austin, which is going on Friday, April 29th through Sunday, May 1st, 10 to 6. Okay? And he is playing Saturday, April 30th at 1:20 p.m. At the Black Fret stage presented by KGSR 93.3. I have a great conversation with Jonathan Terrell. He's a great guy. I'm a huge fan. I think that you will be too. Check out his band Nod in the Face if you're not familiar with it. All right? Hope you're having a great day, whatever you're doing. Have a great week. Let's get down. Are you a nominee for, like, as a solo artist? Because you guys won a Black Fret Grant, right?
No, we didn't. We were a nominee last year.
Okay.
But everybody won something at the end, right. You know? They didn't have me on this year because we were in a nomination for this year to see if we were going to get picked, and they didn't think it would be fair to have, like, a solo project and my other project.
You'd be like the richest dude in town, man. You'd be making records, you know,
they just thought, you know, maybe it'd be a little unfair advantage, you know.
Yeah, I guess that's hard for them too. And you know, the thing is how do you handle that? Because you are sort of like, I mean, you're still the same real person, but sort of the package you're delivering your message in is very different from both projects. And I could see how, as an artist, mm-hmm. and having output, it would be beneficial to you because you'd have both to go to.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, it would be, but it's, you know, at the same time, when they see the same guy get up and sing, they're like, that's the, you know, but they might not understand that it's a different project until they actually see it. Now, one thing that they did have me do some solo shows for them last year, and then this year, even though Not in the Face didn't get a nomination, they're still having me do some of their shows because they're like, we still want to keep our, you know, our members, you know, like, involved. We still want you to be in front of them.
And that's good.
And also, those gigs pay pretty good too, so they're like, you know, we want you to, you know, if we have an opportunity to do a good show and make some money, like, yeah, do it.
Yeah.
You know, and we get to hang out. So, because I got pretty close with those guys, you know.
Yeah, I bet you did throughout that process. Yeah, Matt and Colin. They're really nice guys. Yeah.
Yeah, really nice guys.
You're playing their stage along with Dan Dyer, Sarah Sharp, Tamika Jones, Warren Hood. All these different people are playing at Art City Austin Friday, April 29th through Sunday, May 1st. And you are playing Saturday, April.
The 30th, I think.
Yeah, April 30th at 1:20 p.m.
Yeah, I'll be there.
You'll be there. Now, do you play all those shows solo?
This one, I'm going to have a guy doing some percussion with me.
Okay.
Doug Day from Crooks. He'll just be playing, like, some snare brushes and stuff like that with me, just to, you know, kind of keep it, give it some momentum and things like that. But most of the shows I do solo, and then most of the shows, or, like, all the shows whenever I tour are all solo shows.
Okay. So, like, when you go to Europe, you do you have any guys there that you...
No. Sometimes I'll, like, meet up with some of the other bands that I'm playing with, and we'll end up doing a duet or something like that. Or, like, a, you know, a jam together or something like that. If we'll say, you know, I'll email them and say, like, let's learn a song for, like, whatever night, you know. And
yeah.
So, you know, just something we can kind of include each other in.
But, that's cool. How long are your tours over there? Like, I saw you were in France for, what, a couple weeks, right?
The last one was a couple weeks, and then I had another one this summer that was for a month.
How was that? I saw a lot of pictures.
It was good. I was ready to come home for sure, like, at the end, you know.
Yeah.
Because you're kind of just in the hands of strangers, you know, and even though they become friends throughout the deal, you're like, throughout the tour, you're going, okay, you're still out of your element. And then at the end, you know, after being anywhere for a month, you know, your life at home starts to kind of like unravel a little bit as far as like bills and, you know, things.
Oh yeah. How do you take care of something like that? Do you have a girlfriend or a friend that's like, oh yeah, I'll do this or whatever?
Sometimes, I mean, I do have a girlfriend, but I mean, she went with me on the last tour. I just try to take care of as much as possible
beforehand.
And then everything else is like, you know, you just go, well,
sorry,
I'm on
man.
Tour, you know, I'll try to like put anything I need to send out, any kind of promo stuff, on my laptop and just have it like available to, you know, stuff like that. But
sure,
you know, but, you know, it sucks if somebody's going, well, I'm getting married, you know, or, you know, I got this, my birthday party, or your, you know, close friends that you want to be there.
Yeah,
for,
there is that.
It's just, you know, it's just not going to happen.
Yeah. Or even family.
Yeah.
Like,
them too.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like I find myself making up for, like, if I don't have a gig one day, but I'm playing in San Antonio the next day, and it's my aunt's birthday, I'll, you know, get up the next morning after the gig and drive to Houston for the birthday party, and then come back, you know, just to, you know what I mean? Because after a while, you're like, okay, there's some shit that I've just gone way too long not doing.
Yeah, I've been really, you know, standing in the shower too long thinking about, you know, like, I need to go home, you know, and just see my folks and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and they, you know, they live 5 hours away, you know. It's not that terrible of a drive, you know, but it's just, you know, you come up with a bunch of excuses, you know, just money and not being able to get off work for certain things. Or if you do need to get off work, it's like you can only get off work for a couple days or something, you know. And I'd want to spend more time with them than that. But also, you know, they, you know, there's a bunch of kids in my family too. There's seven kids, and they all have, you know, grandkids. So those guys come, you know, like,
more
they're
frequently
gonna go see the grandkids before they're gonna come down to Austin and sleep in my guest room.
Yeah,
you know, like, so they're gonna get more bang for their buck if they go hug babies instead.
Where in East Texas is it? I know it is in East Texas.
I'm from Longview, Texas.
Okay, Longview.
Yeah.
Where, like, what, you have six brothers and sisters?
Mm-hmm.
What do they do?
They're all spread out all over the country. In Nashville, I got a brother here in town.
Are there any other music dudes or ladies?
Everybody sings.
Okay.
Everybody plays something. I had a sister who moved to Nashville that was pursuing some music up there for a while. And she, you know, she got, you know, typical, got married and, you know, had some kids. And it's just hard. It's hard to, you know, try to be a gigging musician with babies, you know. And so now that they're getting old enough where they can be alone in a room for 15 minutes, you know, she's starting to get back into writing some songs. And but she's the only one that was really, you know, pursuing it outside. My little sister is a super talented trumpet player. She was, you know, did that, you know, whole ride for college and stuff like that, you know. So,
and your parents were big fans. Is that how you guys all got into it?
My parents were musicians also.
Musicians,
yeah.
Professional?
Yeah, I guess. You know, they were in a band in Europe for like 9 years.
Oh, that's
and
awesome.
So all my older brothers and sisters, I'm the third to the youngest, and everybody else was born in Europe while they were basically on tour. So,
dude, that is awesome.
Yeah,
did they play country music?
It was kind of like the folk, you know, kind of like the dreamy, like hippie folk stuff, you know.
That is awesome.
Yeah, they're pretty cool people. So, I mean,
I imagine that Longview is probably pretty conservative. Are they kind of like, stand out a little bit?
Well, I mean, it's, you know, it's about like, you know, it's maybe almost 100,000 people there now. But I mean, you know, they're always like, I think they were, you know, my dad's from there originally, and you know, he stood out before he left. You know, it was just kind of like, I got to get out of town.
Yeah,
you know, so
did you feel that?
I had some like minor success in town. You know, I started getting, you know, like the band I was playing with there started getting bigger and bigger. And then, you know, we just, one, you know, I was like, look, I'm going to move to Austin and I'm going to give myself 1 year. I'm going to move to Austin, you know, so, try it again here, you know, so.
You were going to give yourself a year here?
I was going to give myself a year there. To like save money and then get ready here. And then come here. Yeah. But you know, it's the same thing, you know, you feel like you kind of hit a ceiling in a town like that and, you want to experience bigger and better things, you know, and, you know, there's still some, you know, kind of backwards mentalities there.
Yeah.
That get really frustrating that you kind of want to get away from.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like them or not, sometimes they just rub off on you, you know?
Yeah.
Because, you know,
yeah, you don't want to sound like that.
Yeah. No, you don't. And it can be hard because it's like, you know, you know, people that are, you know, old people that are just like, casual racism is just kind of a thing, yeah. You know, and if you make a face about it or like you go like, dude, that's not cool. Like, you know,
yeah,
you're the problem, you know? So there's things like that are just kind of random that you think that you're like, you know, I can be bigger than this and,
yeah.
You know, try something better, you know,
yeah.
Try something different at least, you know, cause that's, you know, still, it's still like an awesome place to go back and like raise a family now, you know, because, you know, even with the internet and stuff now, then it was just MySpace and stuff. So,
right.
You know, I think people are a little bit more open, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
They know each other, yeah, actually.
It's put a little space and time between, you know.
Yeah. You know, speaking of that kind of this kind of stuff about like moving into like a social media sort of thing, you have a great way of handling that.
I do.
Yeah, I think you're really funny. I never get over, I'm happy to see your post. You know, cool. Like after a while you get tired of seeing certain, like, I'm sure people get tired of seeing that logo popping up two times a week.
I hate people. I hate people putting their food on their accounts, man. Like they're meals, just regular meals.
Yeah,
they're like, I had eggs, cantaloupe.
A guy I'm in a band with said he was gonna start taking photos of his poop the next day and then saying what he had eaten the night before to make it. Like that.
This had some corn chowder yesterday. Notice the hints, but there's some awesome. Well, thanks for that. I try to like at least, you know, put some kind of like dash of artistic value to but I mean there's some great ones. I've been really onto this one, the Rigs of Dad. Have you seen this?
No,
dude, it's just dad bands, pictures of dad bands, and then this guy makes up this amazing backstory for them, and it's like, you know, they're all like super pointy guitars and you know, I'll show it to you in a minute, man. And I thought my eyes were gonna fall out. You know, because it's just such, you know, it's such, so out there, and all the dudes have, like, Jerry Curl and, you know, like, shirts that say, like, pussy and stuff, you know, like, they're just so cool, you know.
Hey, you know that bad band photo website that has, like, all the 80s band photos?
Yeah, I think, you know,
similar
I think
kind of thing.
Yeah.
I've seen three bands I knew on there.
Really?
Like, ones that, because, I mean, I lived in Houston in the late 80s. And there was only like a couple of, there wasn't really like a scene. So there was like, you know, like 15 different bands that kind of all played different kinds of music, but only like five places to play. So you kind of knew everyone.
Yeah.
And so I knew like a lot of dudes that played at the Metal Club, and there was a lot of bands kind of doing the, you know, that LA Sunset Strip rock, but in Houston, like off of 59 near Sugarland.
I saw a video that blew my mind, and I was speaking of like, you know, that kind of like that era when everything was just almost kind of like you know, like almost like kind of the Baroque style, you know, the lace, you know, you know, sleeves and, you know, big
hair.
Married
wearing that stuff.
Yeah,
man.
What's that?
I got married wearing
really
that stuff.
Dude, I believe it. I saw this Charlie Sexton video when he's like maybe 21.
Yeah.
He's got
huge,
badass hair and like big collar. Like, oh man, it's like another version of Prince, you know, but mixed with that kind of, you know, like Sunset Strip thing with like a New York feel. It's so twisted, but it's, you're like, that's Charlie. God.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's such, you
know,
a trip.
You know,
I've met him a couple times. I wouldn't say I know him, but
I know. I always feel weird. Like I feel like I know him well enough where I could say some stuff, but yeah. Like I found his first album on Record Store Day on Saturday in Houston, and I bought it, and I posted a picture of all the ones I got, and Carrie, his wife, was liked it, and then I was like, oh no, I wonder if he's going to be mad that, but why would he be mad? You know what I mean?
Oh man, any press is good press. I think
he detaches himself from that era.
Yeah,
you know,
totally.
Because he's a different cat now. But I mean, how could you not be proud of that? I mean, I was playing it for my girlfriend Zuri, and I was playing it for Jeremy Nail a couple days ago, and I was like, he was fucking 16.
Dude, yeah, he was a little hotshot around here, man.
I mean, he made a real record.
Yeah.
Like, that was on, with that's videos serious. On MTV and shit, and like stylists, and he played like the New Year's thing on MTV.
Really?
Yeah.
Dude.
It's astounding, but I mean, I could see, because I did stuff in that era, but it's not very, you know, nobody knows about it except my grandma and my aunts and stuff. My friends that I grew up with, but like, I think I would be mortified. Not mortified, but just kind of like, oh God.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, you know, think about something like Marky Mark or something, you know? I mean,
man, he's really overcome that. That's pretty amazing.
I was watching this deal with him and Will Ferrell, and they were having like an insult competition, and it's the first person that cracks up. And they were like, they're just ragging on each other about, you know, everything about their moms and stuff. And then as soon as he said something about his little rap career, man, he just broke and was like, I can't even handle it.
Do you have when did you have an embarrassing era?
Because
you're younger, you didn't have the 80s to.
Well, I kind of had a late jump on it too. I didn't write my first song until I was maybe 21, maybe, and I had my first show when I was 22. And I have a couple VHS of those shows, and I'm just going, oh my God, it's painful.
What was it? What were you doing?
I just couldn't sing for shit. You know, I was still doing kind of like, acoustic, things, and I just couldn't sing at all. I was so bad, but I just didn't let that matter. I guess
We all start off with like this, like, I mean, a lot of times you don't have time to even look and see if you're good because there's this fucking so much exhilaration.
Yeah.
Like, you're like, I'm doing it! You know what I mean? I'm doing it! It's a thing, and it's loud, and there's other people involved, like the music, like the band.
Yeah.
Because even in the garage, like, man, that makes the hair on my arm stand up. I'm like, because I feel like the rest of my career, my quote-unquote career and life, has just been trying to find that first high I had in the garage.
Yeah.
Or playing my friend Kayla's birthday party in junior high, you know?
Yeah, man. I remember I knew, like, a couple chords, and I played a Garth Brooks song at my friend's birthday party when I was, like, maybe 6th or 7th grade. Maybe 6th grade. You know, I'm sure it was terrible, but it was, like, the whole party was, like, you just played a Garth Brooks song, like, with the chords. And I'm like, I know. I was like, yeah, all three of them. It was amazing. You know,
I wonder if kids can still get that. I guess that's not that big of a deal anymore now. With, you know, I don't mean to be all like old and like, well, now they got that internet.
Yeah.
Surprised, but like, I mean, I remember the look on, like, kids would be like, "You have a guitar?"
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
I do.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember when I got my guitar. When I got my first, like, real guitar, I bought it from my dad. I still have it. I bought it from him when I was 13. I had to work for him all summer long and give him $300 from my other job that I was working at a ranch. And I got this 1980 Gibson 335 solid body.
That's awesome.
And it rips, man. And I remember bringing it to school, and the guys just, like, falling out. My buddies were like, you want to start a band now or what? Yeah, like, this is band material. Like, they're like, what Smashing Pumpkins songs can you play? You know, like,
yeah.
I'm like, none.
How did you take lessons?
for just a little bit. And I was so terrible at music theory. And I even went back, I went to college for music, and I was still horrible in music theory. I don't even know how I got through some of those classes at all. Because I would have to learn it for a test, and then the minute I'd walk out of the class, you could turn around in the hallway and ask me a question, and I have no idea.
That happens to me with that stuff too.
But you sit down and play me a song, and I can tell you what chords they are. I can probably tell you what key it's in.
Can you tell voicings and stuff? Like, mm-hmm. Oh, this one has the first on top or the mm-hmm. third on top.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And so that was working.
I'm not terrible at that too.
It was working way better for me at that. So I'm just like, why would I sit there and everybody, all my buddies are trying to read tab. And I'm like, just listen to the song. You know, I'm like, into it. And you go, okay, it's in the key of G. So it can only be these certain chords here. And it's a pop song. So it's probably, let's shave off two or three of those chords. And it's not going to be any of those, you know.
Right.
So it's kind of like that. But. I'll turn my phone off.
Okay.
Left that on. Sorry.
That's all right. Somewhere. I leave things everywhere. I got a white phone so that it would stand out, but then I have a white counter, so that doesn't really work. When you were 21 and you wrote your first songs and you played your first gig with mm-hmm. a band at 22?
Yeah.
What was that? And it was all original. What was it called? What was your?
It was just under my name.
Okay.
And I think it was just me and my buddy playing some drums. And he was like, he wasn't even a drummer. He was just like, I got my tax return. I want to get a drum kit. And I'm like, cool. And so it was like that guy and another guy that was like, I got some bongos, and we're like, great. But in that hometown, you know. At that time, it was, you either went and saw, like, Southern metal or, like, rap rock. Those are the only two kinds of bands there, or a cover band.
Yeah.
That's it, you know? And so, even, you know, I'd show up with an acoustic guitar, and they're like, what's that?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
They're like, how come there's the headstock's not, like, pointed right. into, like, an ice pick, you know? And people, and that was just kind of like how it started out for me there, where, you know, I was actually starting to write songs and stories and things like that within the songs. And, you know, and a lot of the girls that wanted to go out to shows, they started kind of come, you know, I started getting a lot of females at the shows. So then they bring their boyfriends or their dates and stuff, because the girls didn't want to go see, a Southern metal band. That's
what is Southern metal? I'm trying to
it'd be like something like Pantera something like that. Just I remember, you know, you walk into any bar and like Typo Negative is blaring everywhere,
right.
Or you know, just stuff like that.
It's funny about Pantera, how like a band that drank and smoked so much weed, they played so fast all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, well, a lot of the time.
I'm sure, you know, they, they're all, like, super shredder players, too.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, at some point, you're just, when you're that good, I don't know if that kind of leaves you, you know.
I guess so.
Like, you still know the scales pretty fast, you know.
Yeah.
And a lot of the songs, sometimes, you know, like, you know, even with Not in the Face stuff, anytime I have to play a guitar solo, sometimes I don't have to think about it.
Right.
It's just like, you're just like, oh, I've played this solo 2,000 times.
Right.
You know? So it's muscle memory.
Yeah.
You know? But, I mean, it's not even close to, you know, what Dimebag was playing, but...
No.
But also... But that was, I wasn't really, you know, crazy about that. I had... Most of my friends were in love with that band, but I liked their strip club more, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I've been there. That golf-themed strip club.
Yeah.
somebody thought that me and my friend were in like the Nine Inch Nails band when we were there, and we very smoothly just went with it because we were getting like some couple of drinks from people like, oh yeah.
Yeah, did you say we're in the Nine Inch Nails band?
We didn't say anything. It said these people recognized you from the Nine Inch Nails show tonight. You guys are in the band, right? And we went, uh-huh.
Yeah. You're like, I'm on.
No
I'm
problem. On the... what do we get?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, well, depends.
Yeah, exactly.
Margaritas for the keyboard player. Yeah. And whiskey for the drummers. Yeah.
Let's see. Okay, so you were playing. Was it inspired by like John Spencer Blues Explosion or something?
No, I do like him a lot. Yeah. My friend Andrew turned me on to him, and for Not in the Face or for
no for that band you had. Or is it the bongo guy and the drummer guy?
Back then, you know, it was like, you know, this is like 2001, 2002. You know, I was listening to a lot of. I was listening to a lot of Ben Harper and Counting Crows and Aphex Twin, you know?
Yeah.
It was like...
Wow, that's an interesting combo.
Yeah, I had a couple of roommates that were... Everybody just, you know, we're all super, super tight. And one of the guys was really into, you know, electronic music. And I had a big, like, you know, trip-hop phase and, like, goth phase in high school, you know, where I was, like, the kid... smoking weed in the corner of the parking lot,
right.
Like basing to Portishead, you know, in this small town, and people are like, "What the fuck is this? Like, what are you doing, man?" I'm like, you know, but I'm, you know, I'm like the kid basing to Portishead in a George Strait T-shirt. I'm like, I don't know, I'm, just, I'm so mixed up right now.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm doing here.
I just like, you know, and I'm still kind of, you know, I'm still kind of like that. I like everything, you know. I just, you know, I was just from. Whenever I was working today on my playlist, I was listening to like some Brazilian music. I listened to some classical music. I listened to a playlist mix from that club in Berlin, the Berghain Club. It's like this crazy, you know, kind of an industrial, you know, techno club, and you know, I listened to some Deer Hunter and, you know, just, this is kind of like all over the map, but, you know, but then when I sit down and write songs for like my, you know, solo project, like it just kind of comes out in like kind of an Americana country way. It's not like I picked it.
Yeah.
It's just kind of, that's how it was, you know?
Right.
And, you know, even with Not in the Face, it was like, I was playing country, you know, that kind of Americana country for years and just wasn't getting very much leverage with it. And we kept having to play with these shitty Texas country bands, you know, like the worst, you know, meaningless song, you know, bands. And people would just get really upset with us because, you know, I'd have a song that was like, you know, talking about your feelings or some kind of introverted, you know, idea, and they're just going, I can't slam beers to this, man.
Yeah.
You know, and so we started Not in the Face as just like a big fuck you to that whole scene.
Yeah.
You know, and just.
Well, that worked out well.
Yeah, it was cool, you know.
Yeah.
Because there was no pressure, and it was strictly like, I look at it like we would go to work, you know, and we'll work really hard on the country project. And then when you get off work, you want to go to the bar and like, you know, you just have a blast, you know? And that was the beauty of Not in the Face is like, we could do anything we wanted. And there wasn't like another band going, well, you can't,
right,
you know,
right,
you should
right.
sound like this. You should write more songs about beer and float in the river,
right,
you know. And we're just like, man, let's just play a bunch of Chuck Berry covers and like kick shit over.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah. Like, yeah,
and that kind of at the time, you know, it was the right ingredient, you know.
Yeah,
so
it works well. Did you ever come across that, is there that attitude, I guess there is in country music, like the kind that there was in like the early 2000s with like indie rock, like there were all these rules and like,
yeah,
you can't do this.
There
you're
is
not this, and
yeah, because that formula was so popular for that.
But it
when
still
I,
is, right? I mean,
it is, but I feel like now, you know, a lot of those same kids that were into that, you know, kind of just like doofy, you know, style, they graduated college now, and they're going, You know, it's like when you look back in your when you're a kid and you're like, man, I listened to some goofy shit when I was a kid. You know, now they're they have ideas and they have complete thoughts and they're not just trying to like smash chicks and crush beers. They're like actually trying to be
people.
You know, a person with you know in society. And I think that they're those people are wanting some kind of a more like a. Just a deeper idea behind it, deeper meaning behind a song, you know?
Yeah.
Something that they can connect to without, you know, and actually have to think about.
Right.
Know? So.
So do you play mostly, like, when you did residencies in, like, New York and D.C. Mm-hmm. and stuff, right? Where did you play there?
I was in Hill Country Live.
Oh, yeah.
And in Manhattan and D.C., and then... I was doing the Manhattan Inn in Brooklyn every Thursday.
Okay.
And then I was in Philly on Saturdays, and I can't remember the club right now. Don't kill me. Sorry.
No, it's okay. Those Glossermans, the people that have that Hill Country place, are like the nicest.
They're
the fucking nicest people.
Above and beyond.
Yeah.
And they just give you so much barbecue, and you know that was one of those things, you know, with some other bands I've been on the tour with, it's like, you know, you're looking at cash in your pocket going like, okay, we're going to go to Denny's and like, yeah, okay, you know. And there you just walk in the door and they're like, how many pounds of brisket do you want to take home with you? And you're like, well,
yeah.
You know, and it's just, you stay really well taken care of with those guys, you know.
Yeah, they're really great people. I love them. And I've never been to the DC one. Is that good? Didn't his brother run that or something?
You remember John O'Neill that used to run Antone's?
Mm-hmm.
He's the guy in DC.
Awesome.
He books all that, and he lives in DC and runs that venue.
Right.
But he books the one in Manhattan. Also, I think the one in Brooklyn also, because there's one in Brooklyn too.
Right. So here, one other question I have while we were on this thing, because I'm trying to figure out if you're just forging your own way in this. Like, you don't play like the Billy Bobs and those kind of places as you, do you?
I've never played Billy Bobs, but now that I'm getting like, you know, I guess about a year ago, I decided to put that solo record out.
Right.
But I had recorded that album 8 years ago.
Right.
And so now people are, you know, getting back into, you know, I'm kind of dealing with the same, you know, groups of people, same venues, but not, I wouldn't say very many dance halls, just because, you know, people are, they don't want to, like, two-step too much. I'll play the White Horse every now and again.
Okay.
You know, but it's more kind of like indie clubs.
Yeah.
And stuff like that, you know.
Which is cool, because that's kind of like, it always seems like people that are doing the real deal have to kind of start out in like the outcast punk clubs, like almost like Dwight Yoakam or something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because there was a time when I first heard of him was when his first album was coming out and he was getting all kinds of press. And I remember seeing him on Entertainment Tonight and them kind of like going like, this guy came up in like these punk clubs because they didn't want him in Nashville. The country people didn't want him here. So he was like, you know, fuck it. And I mean, I'm not going to. So it was like synthesizers and shit in country at that point. And he wasn't doing that. He was doing the old school.
Well, and I mean, not only that, but I mean, you know, touring for the last 6 to 8, you know, I guess 8 years with the solo deal and then the last 6 years with Not in the Face, I've made a lot of relationships with a lot of clubs from that band. So when I call them back and say, hey, I got this, you know, solo project, they're like, tight.
Yeah,
bring it
on.
You know, so I mean, it kind of works out because I get to go back to the same places, and you know, some of the same fans from Not in the Face are coming to those shows, and
that's cool.
But it is a little bit, you know, you do kind of start over a little bit, you know, because I mean, you're not. I'm definitely not pulling, you know, numbers like the band, you know, is.
Does.
But
that's kind of hard because I bet it's a lot more feasible for you to actually tour and shit.
Yeah, because I just tour in my truck.
Yeah.
And I, you know, a lot, I think, you know, I only got a hotel one time on that whole last tour that I stayed, that I was on the East Coast, you know, and that was when my girlfriend flew to New York, you know, and she was, and we got an Airbnb, you know, but I would just drive out of town and, you know, it was in the fall, so, like, you'd sleep in your car on a roadside and just get up and brush your teeth and then go to the next town and kind of check it out half the day. And,
yeah,
you know, but I was doing all these residencies, so I was in each town 4 days a week,
right?
You know, and then I'd have a couple of days off here and there. So I would just go to museums and just,
what a great time. Did you write a lot when you were doing that?
Yeah, and I've totally, like, filled my phone up with the voice memos, because I would get these, you know, you can't, you know, you
walking
get these
around
ideas.
Stuff.
Yeah, you get these ideas, you know, driving through the Shenandoah Mountains at 3 in the morning, and you're like, oh, you just start singing into your, you know, iPhone and see what happens. But I got a couple songs out of that tour, and then one song I was working on the whole tour, and then it was just kind of wasn't happening. And then I came home and I did a show in Beaumont, and I was just sitting in my motel, and it was like, that was it. And it was just like, it just totally, you know, came to me. The rest of the song came in. And then I didn't think that song was good enough, so then this other song kind of came to me from that same idea, and it just kind of like kicked that other song's ass. So, but I wouldn't have got the second song unless I had made it all the way through the first song.
Right.
So I'm going to record that song next week. I'm doing a new EP with John Evans is going to produce
it. Oh, yeah. Love that dude.
Yeah.
So, I love that dude.
Yeah, he's awesome, man.
Yeah, he's the coolest.
Mm-hmm.
So that's also, you're doing a Jonathan Terrell.
Yeah, yeah.
Another solo.
Yeah, and because my label in France is ready for some new material.
Good,
and
man.
I got some guys in England that are wanting to put it out. So I'm just trying to get them some new stuff that sounds cool, and, you know, see how it's going to go.
Yeah. Do you have some kind of writing regiment?
No. I kind of wish I did, but I kind of do this, like, kind of this lightning rod effect of if something comes to you and it, like, you're like, oh, good, that's good. Like, I just drop plans and everything, you know, phones off. Like, you just knock it out until the creek runs dry on it, you know. So that's kind of my only, I wish I did write something daily, but I kind of just don't want to, like, I have so many songs at this point that I'm already, like, trudging through,
right?
You know, because, you know, just going, hey, we need to do a 3-song EP, and I'm like, okay, well, I got 50 songs ready to go.
Yeah.
And you're like, ugh, okay.
And do you
I don't want to waste them, you know.
No, you get the inspiration, you start working on something, you pretty much know right off if it's not in the face or if it's...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a total different mindset. Totally, like, it's a total different feel.
Yeah.
A lot of not in the face stuff I'll get when I'm, like, I'll get melodies or a lyric or something like that when I'm, like, running or riding my bike, because it's, like...
Something more energetic.
Something that pulsing and, you know, and I'll sell a lot of the... you'll notice on a lot of the Not in the Face songs, the tempos are kind of like, that's how fast I'm running.
Yeah.
whenever, you know.
So yeah.
It's my exercise regimen that, you know, clearly is failing me right now.
Yeah.
You know?
Mine's failing me, too. I don't know what's going on.
Fuck it, yeah.
The world is a terrible place. Your album's available on vinyl, too. Right.
Yeah, I didn't print CDs on this one.
Do you feel like you... Is there... something, because this is a question people just have now. Completely, like, do I do it or do I?
Yeah, I mean, it took almost 9 months for the vinyls to come back.
Yeah,
you know, and I mean, you know, and now at this point, it's been out for a few months, and I'm kind of, since I've been touring for it, people have been asking me so much for CDs of it that I'm gonna go ahead and print some, but I mean, I didn't really know how this album was gonna do, and I didn't, and it was more of like a, you know, it was more of an art project than anything, because I wrote 26 songs for this record and then narrowed it down to, I think, 11 or something like that. So it was more of like a, you know, the whole record was supposed to be like a certain vibe and not necessarily like, you know, here's the singles on track 2.
Right,
you know, it wasn't for the radio. It was for, like, It's for like late nights,
yeah,
dancing with your lady, or like late nights getting high in front of the fireplace kind of thing, you know.
Having a like, fireplace.
Yeah.
You remind me of a guy that would go well with someone that's a country artist as well as, do you know Richard Howley? You know what I'm talking about?
The he's English got guy,
like his dreamy, like early 60s. Yeah, he's 60s got that kind of
like a Roy Orbison dreamy thing. What's that?
Hey, dude. Hi, Zuri. Hi. Yeah.
My lady introduced me to him. He's got some really cool stuff.
Yeah, he does. Like, and there was something like, you don't sound like him or anything, but when I was listening to it, there were a couple of tracks that had some pretty dreamy things going on in them that I was like,
he goes to those minor pre-courses.
Yeah,
is what it is. It's like, it's a total left turn, and that like leads you up to this exalting moment when you get to the course.
It's the best.
It's like minor six and stuff that he hits. It's
Hell, you're doing your theory, and you're doing well with that.
Oh yeah.
So when can we expect Not in the Face album?
I don't know. We just had it mixed. Right. We haven't started on the artwork for it, and we haven't decided who's going to master it yet. But we don't know how exactly we want to put it out yet.
Right.
We kind of want to just keep it close to the vest and play it smart as we can, because, you know, I don't think we're in the position to just throw a bunch of money at it and just cross our fingers. You know, it's got to be executed in some kind of, you know, fiscal, you know, way of, but you know, we really got to think about it.
Was this the first time you worked with Frenchie?
Yeah. But I've known him for years, and you know, we've talked about, you know, doing stuff together for
a
long time.
That's a good matchup.
Yeah. Yeah,
when I read that, I was like, "Oh yeah, this is gonna be fucking awesome."
Yeah, because I mean, you know, he fucking loves rock and roll.
He does.
So
he really
much.
Does. And you guys are totally fucking rock and roll.
And he's come to see us before, and he was just like, "I've got to do something with you." And we're like, "Oh, okay, sure." And then when we were sitting down to actually think about who we wanted, we're like, "Do we go out of town? We're like."
Because the last one did go out of town. That's what you did with Bob Ezrin, right?
Yeah. And we went to Vancouver for that one. And it was like, you know, that was a really insane and incredible experience. But, you know, there was so many elements of like cleanliness that came off on the album.
Oh, yeah.
You know, just as far as like the tones and stuff.
Yeah.
That some of the amps that we like... You know, I'll say like some of the amps that we were getting in Canada, they're just different. They just sound different, you know.
Oh, that's interesting.
And so even when we were there, we're like, man, I wish we could have brought some amps from like Muscle Shoals or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, those hot Creedence amps where it's just a Fender Bassman on 7.
Right.
You know,
right.
And it's just super clean, but it's distorted because it's just so fucking loud.
Yeah.
It's like, you know.
When you go work with a guy like Frenchie, does he have gear suggestions for you? Or is he like, do you have a couple of choices?
He has some gear there, but also he'll want to see what gear you have. Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, once you kind of plug in, you know, he's definitely, him and Sean are like definitely kind of helping you sculpt the sound because, you know, it sounds different in a studio setting than when you just set up on stage, you know?
Right.
So it's like, how can you make it sound like it's on stage?
Because that's a huge, like with your solo records, you can sort of, you have a blank canvas to sort of create this thing.
Yeah.
But when you have a band with as much energy as Not in the Face has,
you got to be able to see that.
That's something you
want
to be able to get on the record, which is fucking hard.
Yeah. So there's a lot of wildcat screams and high kicks and shit.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah.
Do you think Frenchie brought some stuff out of you that you didn't know was in you?
Definitely.
That's cool.
One thing that I really, really liked is he does not do edits. Like there's no pitch correction.
Right.
He's not gonna fix your voice if you can't sing the fucking note.
Right.
Like you better just sing it.
Yeah,
and if you don't, then that's how you sound, and that's how your record's going to sound.
Well, you got in a style of music that you there's you have to be raw. If you're processing shit, you're fake.
You have to do it like all the way.
Yeah.
And you know, and he's super quick behind the board, and is just like he's going 90 miles an hour, and that energy just like takes over the room.
That's
and
so then
you
good,
just,
man.
You want to like match him with your performance. And so I think that he pushed us really hard to just get the best performances out of us, and also call us out if something wasn't like good enough, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, like, cause we went in for pre-production and basically played him the whole album as we've been rehearsing it. And then it also, you know, it helps so much of going back and listening to those songs again and going like, oh, this sucks. Like, yeah. How is that going to be better? Right. You know? And also, and he gave us enough room to kind of let us, you know, hash that out in between us where we're like, guys, what are we like? This sucks. Like, and you're like, how about if we just go like this instead? And he's like, yeah, that's one, you know, or he'll say, no, like, that's not it. He's just there. And if the vibe is right and the idea's going to work, then he's going to like slingshot that idea as far as it'll go, you know? So
those are my favorite kind of guys to work with. Not people that go like, oh, change this to an E minor and do this. They go like, hey, make it better. And you're like, how do I do that? And they're like, dude, just make it better.
Your band. Yeah. Like,
your song, you do it.
Yeah. Like, you wrote the fucking song.
Yeah,
like,
when you're producing my record, I'll do that. But you do this. Yeah.
Play it better. Okay. Well, all right.
It's so interesting that he has ended up, because, I mean, and I have had nothing but love for that dude. But, you know, like, when we both first moved to Austin, we worked at Whole Foods together. Like, I worked in the meat department, like, 25 years ago.
Yeah.
And we would record on 4-track and shit. Like, I lived at the Congress House, this really nice recording studio. Like, I was, like, the dude that lived there.
Yeah.
But we would take in, like, a 4-track cassette, me and him and his buddy Brandon, or that he was friends with for a long time. Anyway, to see him grow so much into this sort of, like, you know, Zen master... Yeah. When it comes to producing, like, I hear these stories from people all the time. It's not just, like, what you hear. Sonically is always great. And he really can... I don't know how much he works outside of what he connects with. But when he connects with something, like, you can... Like, in the Leopold recordings, you know what I mean?
He hears the tiniest things that I'll listen to something 10 times, and he'll go, oh, that. And you're going, what? What is that? And then he'll fix it, and you're like, oh, I didn't even know that was there.
Yeah.
You know, he's just... so into the like the raw details of it.
Yeah.
But that Leopold record.
No, it had this, like, he connected so much. What's the song where it has the crazy, like, boxing video, you know what I'm talking about?
Mm-mm.
Well, anyway, he really, like, it's some of those songs, like, the energy is palpable, but also, like, sonically, it's, like, exploding out of your speakers when it's supposed to. Like, rock and roll isn't supposed to sound clean or safe. It's like, that is a dirty-ass guitar sound.
Yeah, and, you know, I think, like, when we were, you know, when we were talking about mixing and stuff, we were listening to a bunch of, like, Roxy Music, Ziggy Stardust, you know, a lot of Iggy Pop, like, those kinds of albums, a lot from the 70s, where it's got, like, kind of that hot vocal, and they just, like, they're just... kind of hissy and screamy and, you know, just super tough, you know?
Yeah.
They sound like leather and denim, you know?
Yeah.
And you tell him that, and he's just like, he knows exactly what you're fucking talking
totally.
About.
Totally.
So
did you guys cut a lot of stuff together? Like, but as a band?
Yeah. We did, you know, we do some overdub and stuff, but the essential thing was we just set up in a room and do takes and takes and takes until we get, you know, the right like bass and drum part, you know, and then we'd, you know, and then we'd build from there. But, you know, everybody, because he wanted everybody in the room playing together.
Yeah.
So he's like, you know, this has got to be like you're on stage, you know, and
That communication is a big part of your band.
Yeah. Because when you look over and somebody's just thrashing and you're like, yes.
Yeah.
You know, and then it comes out. It comes out in the energy, you know.
Yeah.
It comes out in the performance.
Yeah.
So.
So you're going to record this this EP with John Evans?
Yeah, John Evans is producing it with me. And
are you going to do similar sort of strip down? Or
we're doing a cacophony.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, it's similar kind of strip down, you know, drums, bass, you know, pedal steel, lead, you know, some kind of synth stuff, harmonica, you know. But this, you know, this one's more about like...
Sorry.
So this is more kind of like a collected, like a focus kind of darker, you know, like a darker kind of cool version, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, it just sounds kind of like dark and sexy and tough, you know, but, lyrical. You know?
Yeah. His new record's really good. I just listened to it yesterday. He's
John
coming
Evans?
In. Yeah. He's coming in like day after tomorrow
cool.
to do one of these.
Yeah. We did pre-production for it last night and just sat in the parking lot afterwards and talked for an hour, just trying to vibe out what we want to do on it, and just I love that guy, man.
Yeah,
we've been good friends for several years.
Really,
and you know, I think I was getting a lot of advice of, you know, from a lot of different people of going, you should record here, you should get this producer, you should do this, you should do this, and my friend, she just goes, she's like, oh, well, you know, there's tons of great producers in town, you know, you got like John, and I was like. Why didn't I even think about that? I'm stalking producers in
right.
Memphis and Nashville and
right.
Everybody that wants to hear, you know, my music overseas, like, loves it because it's so undeniably Texas.
Yeah.
You know, that I'm like, why do I want to go somewhere else and just spend a shit ton of money to getting there and living there for... you know, however long to get the project
done.
It's
fun, but...
And it's, it's fun, but I mean, it's like, you know...
Trying to get something done.
Yeah, I'm going to spend, you know, most of this year, you know, like, traveling, so, like, might as well just drive down the road and actually sleep in my own bed and, you know...
So you have plans to do some solo touring?
Yeah. I'll be doing some touring this summer, doing West Coast, and then I'm going back to England.
Okay.
And I'm not sure when I'm going back to France, but as, you know, as soon as I get the tracks to them, we figure out kind of a game plan for that.
That's great, man.
Yeah,
I look forward to hearing it.
Yeah, thanks, man. Me too.
And you're doing Mondays at the Blackheart.
Blackheart, yeah. Mondays at Blackheart, yeah.
Black Fret. That's what it was. So you play at 9:30 and then you have someone plays after you?
9 o'clock. From 9 to 10.
Okay, 9 to 10.
Yeah,
right. No one go there at 9:30. Go at 9.
Yeah.
And you're also playing Art City Austin on Saturday, April 20th at 1:20. Or April 30th,
30th,
sorry.
Yeah.
Saturday, April 30th at 1:20 p.m. You can find out all about all the people playing there at artalliancealliance.org/artcity. Is there anything I'm missing? It's getting hot in here.
Thanks for the coffee.
Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah. I don't know if I needed it, but...
I definitely did. Oh, I'm going to go see Nikki Lane tonight.
Oh, you are?
I think so, yeah.
Who's that?
Scoot in. She's a country singer.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she's good. Check her out.
I will. Okay, people should just come see you. Also, Jonathan Terrell Music. It's Terrell, right?
Yeah,
Terrell or something.
Terrell like barrel.
Yeah.
That's, you know, Lori Gallardo.
Yeah.
She always said Terrell, and I was like, oh, God. You know, because it's like, she's playing your stuff on KUT, and it's a huge thing, you know? So it's like, you don't want to be a dick and go, hey, you're misstating my name. And I was like, I'm so sorry, but it's Terrell like barrel, so she calls me Terrell Barrel. Yeah.
Dude, why am I drawing a blank on the dude at South Austin Music? The guy that owns it?
Steve?
Steve.
Is that his name?
No. Oh, God, this is embarrassing. I've known him for years. Anyway, I've known him for years, and he's one of those guys that I just felt weird correcting him. So, like, for 11 years or so, called Johnny Goody. Good to see you, buddy. Good to see you, Johnny Goody. And then finally somebody was like, hey, it's Gowdy. And he was like, he was like, why didn't you tell me? I was like, I don't know.
Like,
I felt weird.
Goody sounds pretty.
Yeah.
That's
fine with me.
Pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Johnny Goody.
At least you know me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So JonathanTerrellMusic.com. Get out there. Pick up Past the Lights of Dawn, which is absolutely
Town.
Cool.
Past the Lights of Town.
Town. Sorry.
Yeah. Sorry.
Why did I write Don? I literally did write Don. What's wrong with me?
You just got one letter off.
Two.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Past the Lights of Town. Dude, yeah. It's a gorgeous album.
Thanks for your
time. And congratulations. I'm sure I'll see you around.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Thank you.
To you with much regret, and I'll run with stones in my shoes.
Oh, Jonathan Terrell, amazing songwriter, frontman of the amazing rock and roll band Not in the Face. Pick up his album Past the Lights of Town, which is available now, and you can pick it up on Spotify, on iTunes, at the record store if you need to. He's got vinyl. Go to jonathanterrellmusic.com, and don't forget, if you're in Austin, go to the Art City Austin festival going on Friday, this Friday, April 29th through Sunday, May 1st, at the Palmer Event Center. Go to artallianceaustin.org/artcity to find out who all's playing and who all's art will be there and how to get in. It's 10 to 6 every day. Jonathan plays Saturday, April 30th at 1:20 p.m. Get out there and see him. Get out and check out some art, okay? Hey, thank you so much for listening to the show. I want to thank Jonathan for making the time to come by and sit down and talk. I really like him. I love his vibe, and I love his music. Let's hear some more of it right here. This is some more music from his album, Past the Lights of Town. Have a great week, everyone. Let's get down.
A lot of lines out on the road in between you and me. I drive all night to make it home, coming in through Tennessee. Got in some trouble up in Johnson City. Spent 3 days behind bars. Had a warrant in Washington County for carrying a firearm. I miss you so much, baby. It makes me wanna cry. So don't go doing anything crazy like saying goodbye. Such a hassle to wait for me. I don't want to tie it down. Well, I've been promising too long, baby, that I'd be coming back to town. I got a show in South Carolina. I'm in Florida the next 2 days. Well, I'll be taking the next bus home, depending on what they pay. I miss you so much, baby. It makes me wanna cry. So don't go doing anything crazy like saying. Sweet darling, won't you answer your phone? I need to hear your voice tonight. Atlantic seaboard goes to call. Temperature's dropping outside. If I ever make it back to Texas, it'll be a gift from God. On my knees in an interstate phone booth, praying please don't let her be gone. Well, I miss you so much, baby. It makes me wanna cry. So don't go doing anything.